your game face on. Get ready for the tip-off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show. We bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you're playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause you're speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports of what's popping. It's four quarters of absolute rawness. If you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's.
Listen close while I tell you like this. A fresh little podcast. Be sure you don't miss. Well, and the place to be. Sweets Watson and me, you're now listening to ABDB.
Episode 73.
Very good, sir. Very good.
You know, it's like, I don't miss a beat, man. We don't miss a beat. We were away for a bit. We're back. All balls don't bounce.
Episode Dennis Rodman with the Lakers.
Oh, he wore 73. Right. I knew there was one.
Because you talked about our test one time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You got me. Those crazy guys.
Shout out to my man Shark on that one, too. He was on it as well. But also,
Johnny, you know, the thing is, you're very smiling. It's linemen or NASCAR guys?
Right. So,
Johnny Beauchamp.
Okay, is that a NASCAR guy?
Yeah.
you got to say with a New Orleans
accent.
I don't have the
twang. I'll do the
Johnny Beauchamp. Something like that. But what about John Hanna? Arguably the greatest offensive lineman. Okay. In NFL history, it's right. Argued. We're going to have a lot of talk about the Patriots because he was on that team. Not during this period, but whatever the case might be.
He's rolling in his grave right now.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. But before we go further, allow us to reintroduce ourselves. His name is
Dwayne Sweets Watson, a.k.a. the Cupcake Champ, a.k.a. the Swishin' Dishin' Petition, a.k.a. Mr. Swiss Franks. Alongside the one and only venerable,
the entrepreneurionaire, Wall Street, Will Strickland, back in the place again. It feels good, man.
It's fun. You know, as soon as we start, it's like you realize how much you miss it.
Yeah, no doubt. And
we miss you.
We do.
Then you can reach out to us. Like, don't be strangers. You can definitely hit us on Twitter at ABDmedia, Facebook.com/ABDmedia. Email us, allballsdontbounce@gmail.com. Check us out on the iTunes Store or download us at
Stitcher Radio, yeah.
Yeah.
So right. No doubt. Lots of things going on. As a matter of fact, we are going to be, I guess, announcing the semifinals and the finals of a local tournament. It's a money tournament, but it's also about community-based
exactly.
Initiatives, including talking about gun violence and trying to curb that. Four Reasons presents the second annual
Phoenix Classic,
yes,
2K13.
So we're there Sunday, the 28th
of
July.
Down at Ryerson Kerr Hall.
Yeah. Shout out to Sasha Rive from Four Reasons for hooking up with us. We're looking forward to it. Hopefully you guys come out. We're going to be there around 6 o'clock. We're going to do the semifinals and the finals.
Yeah, we've done a little play-by-play off the fly. It's going to be fun.
I hope people don't get mad because we might get a little flagrant with the mouth a little bit. Just a little bit.
Oh, of course. But that's why they want us.
Yeah, well, it's going to be good for a good cause. So we're glad to be a part of what they're doing and keep doing what's popular with the population on All Balls Don't Bounce. Let's set it off, sir.
Well, I kind of alluded to it before, but we're going to bring back the rampant black redneckery.
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, there's a great story on ESPN about a young man by the name of Richie Parker. And I'm not talking about the kid from New York who played basketball. We posted this as a pre-episode 73 footnote. Mm-hmm. And Richie Parker is now, I guess, what is his title?
I don't know
what the chassis and body component designer for Hendrick
Motorsports. Oh, right there. That part, yeah.
Yeah, that part.
Sorry.
So, you know, and the great thing about this story for a guy who works with cars and NASCAR
and builds.
Yeah. Is that he has no arms.
Yeah.
He does everything with his feet. That's including like, drive and design these parts for the cars with his feet and the computer. It's amazing to watch. If you don't at least, at the very least, feel like you're about to catch tears when you watch it or want to complain about anything.
That's what I was about to say.
Once you see this.
Yeah. Yeah. Just watch that.
You are subhuman.
And rethink things.
No doubt. No doubt. And you talk about rapid black redneckery. Shout out to our crew out there. Of course, our girl Toya over in Kuwait getting ready to come back. She's always about the rapid black redneckery.
That's right.
You know, your boy, Brad Doherty.
My boy. He was like the pre-Tim Duncan.
He was. You know what I mean? His hairline was absurd.
From a personality standpoint. I mean, he could play, but from a personality standpoint, you know.
Brad Doherty was the pre-Tim Duncan.
Those light-skinned motherfuckers.
Oh, man. Yo, he's from, not Stone Mountain.
Black Mountain.
Black Mountain, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
So he has roots deep in NASCAR, even though he's a professional athlete. Playing basketball.
Yeah, well, he went to North Carolina.
Yeah.
And they played for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep. And, he played for the Cavs, and they used to always get killed by Jordan.
Always. And they had a decent squad,
they,
too.
They had a really good
Larry Nance, Mark Price, Craig Elo.
They had a good team.
Mark Harper.
Yeah.
But not good enough.
No, but once he transitions from basketball into, you know, owning, a race team and actually announcing NASCAR.
Yeah.
He's like one of the biggest announcers in NASCAR.
Literally and
metaphorically. Right. He was 6'10", 6'11". Yeah.
But he jumped right into NASCAR. That was his passion. And obviously growing up in Black Mountain, you know.
And he's on the diversity panel. And you see with, what's the young man's, Darrell Wallace Jr., who's a racer. And mm-hmm. I don't know what's up with your homegirl who got exposed. we tried to have her on the show once. What's her name? I forget the...
She who will not be
Tia
named.
Norfleet.
Tia Norfleet. Well done.
You know, there are a lot of black racers in NASCAR that are trying to come up, and you don't have it just from the sporting side. You also have it from admin,
yep.
And journalists.
And the ownership side, too, obviously.
No doubt.
Which is important, because...
And the creation with Richie Parker.
Yeah.
You know, so shout out to Rampant Black Redneckery, yo. Speaking of first, and we were talking about, you know, young people in a sport and trying to invigorate the sport. Two young men who will... probably be linked forever because of the NHL draft. Mm-hmm. Seth Jones, son of Popeye.
Brother of Al.
I was waiting. I was going. Come on, son. Come on. Okay. And also Darnell Nurse, nephew of Donovan McNabb.
Right.
Both, for the sake of conversation.
Right.
Air quotes.
Granted.
Thank you. Black hockey players.
Yes.
They were drafted in the first round of the NHL draft. They were top 10 draft.
Fourth and seventh respectively.
Yeah. So they were top 10. Never happened before. It was kind of expected that maybe Seth Jones would go number one.
It was highly presumed that he would go number one.
I didn't think it would ever happen.
And it didn't happen. But he fell to four, which is surprising.
Very surprising. But, you know, it would be easy bake for me to call it racism out the jump. But if you had this guy who was, you know, projected to be number one, it wasn't like the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Here's a guy between him and Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah.
Like it was 1-2 either way, depending upon what your needs were.
Exactly.
But Seth Jones was the kind of guy that they thought would change fortunes for teams.
Yeah, he's the can't miss prospect, this solid big defender.
Apparently he could, and he did. He missed. He was drafted fourth.
To Nashville.
So he's going to have a good time down in Nashville. And Darnell Nurse, I think, ended up going to Edmonton.
Yeah. To Oilers.
So congratulations to those who.
His
two
dad
guys.
Played in the CFL.
Yeah, Ron Nurse, yeah. Right?
I mean, I wasn't trying to slip in. I'm just.
Yes, you were. You did.
I just didn't know. Because I know, you know why it was McNabb. But his dad actually played in
the
CFL. So.
Okay, so the CFL plays here.
Only seven people got that.
No. Well, as we move on to something less happy.
Listen.
This, I'm, What?
Go on.
No, say what you're going to say.
I can't. I don't want to jump. I'll jump in after.
Only because I feel bad for the situation and the circumstance. We talk about money being the root of all evil. I don't think so. It's people are the root of all evil. And they allow circumstance to create that for them.
Uh-huh.
In this case, we're talking about Amy Duncan, the ex-wife of Tim Duncan.
In the process of being the ex-wife.
She's about to be the ex-wife's son.
Right. Like, yeah, so, done. I mean,
let's just call it the ex.
It's legally, I'm just saying. That's why I said.
What, are we going to get fined or something?
No, I'm just saying they're in the process of getting divorced. Which is why this dialogue is coming up.
Right. And also, the former.
Very much former.
Siobhan Wade, a.k.a. Funches.
A.k.a. Crazy.
Yeah, she's definitely crazy. And it's not an attack on women, okay? But when you openly come out and pretend as though you're being disrespected or dismissed because you're hurt with punches, she was hurt that Dwayne Wade did an upgrade. Let's be real about it.
Yeah, I mean,
he got Gabrielle Union when he separated from his wife. And the funny thing was, when they went to court for the custody of the children, Dwayne Wade got custody.
Yeah, he didn't only get upgrade, he got it all.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How often would you see the man get custody?
Rarely.
Especially the children.
Especially especially a man who's like, he travels for his job all the time.
Absolutely.
So it's not like, you know, not to take anything away from Dwayne Wade, I'm saying he can't take care of his kids, but it's not like he's a stay-at-home dad or he's always at home.
Right.
He travels.
So there must have been something that she was doing or something with her.
Yeah. For the judge to say, you can't have the kids.
And then she sits outside the courthouse on the ground acting like she's homeless with a sign that says, my children, not children. She can't even spell. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. And saying that on $25K a month, she can't live.
$25K
I got $1 million from Dwayne. I can't live.
$25K a month.
A month. At $300,000 a year.
Don't forget, this is $25K on, you don't have full-time custody. It's not right. Like you have full-time custody.
She wanted child support. Wait, you don't have the children. Come on, man. Whatever. So that's one thing. And then you talk about Amy Duncan, who stayed with Tim Duncan for as long as she did.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, when they're about to get divorced.
Because she was cheating on him.
Yeah. She wants to throw him under the bus and say, we had a boyfriend since, you know, Wake Forest when we met.
Yeah.
But you married him. You had kids with him. You stayed. So why tell all this dirt now? Like, what's the gain in?
Book deal.
Yeah, but what are your kids? You have to think about the kids in this instance. Dwayne Wade's kids will see this video of their mother wilding out.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Duncan's kids will see that their mother went all out to expose their dad. And that's never a good scene. But speaking of bad scenes, if you've been living under a rock, and you do not know what happened in Sanford, Florida, Trayvon Martin's killer was set free. I want to say his name, yeah.
Don't need to.
But there was a reaction, of course, all segments of life, including sports, and some of the athletes that commented on the outcome of the trial.
Had normal human reactions.
Yeah, normal human reaction. But some were apologizing for what they said, including Roddy White from the Atlanta Falcons. I didn't understand why he apologized for saying what he said.
Hey, it's a corporate world, my friend.
Well, here's the thing, and that's why we have to talk about the value of comment neutrality, all right? And I don't know, you know, you see like a couple of people, what did Roddy White say?
All them jurors should go home tonight and kill themselves for letting a grown man get away with killing a kid.
I mean, he went a little extra with it.
Yeah, he went a little
extra. I understand he was upset.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't apologize. That's how I felt.
I mean, Victor Cruz had a similar sense. Well, Victor, thoroughly confused. Zimmerman doesn't last a year before the hit catches up to him. He deleted it. But that, for me, that's a fact of reality.
Well, word to my man, MC8, Gia, the hood done took me under. And literally, you know, when you think about these guys having to retract their statements, because that's the way they felt in the moment.
Yeah.
We live in this world where you have to be almost neutral as an athlete. You can't have an opinion if you do.
No.
You don't have to be.
People choose to. They make that choice.
Yeah, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and all these other guys. I mean, I'm not knocking them. And we've talked about this before in terms of, like, you know, hoping someone would just step out and say and be honest and not be scared of the repercussions. And that hasn't happened. There isn't anyone who's really scared to do that.
Well, it depends on the personality of the person and also their earning power. I talk about comment neutrality. Like, if you feel like you're going to lose endorsements because you say something, you talked about J. Cole.
Right.
Talking about autism.
Yep.
That Drake apologized for J. Cole.
Yep.
The Light Skinned Coalition.
Strikes again.
You know, they're back in it. And everybody's apologizing for something they don't have to apologize for, in my opinion.
Don't apologize for how you feel.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If that was how you felt in the moment, you might have been, you can look back at it and say, you know what? Maybe that wasn't the wrong thing or the right thing for me to say. But at the time, that's how I felt. Hey. And I stand by what I said. I respect that more.
Everyone's human.
No doubt. Well, not everyone's a business, man.
Yeah. Some people are businesses.
And others are businessmen. And
with a very diverse portfolio.
Yes. I like that.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Mr. Sean Corey Carter, as usual, on the minds and hearts of many people, whether you love him or hate him, eat I or. He's doing his thing in the world of sport. Whether you talk about when he owned one millionth of a team.
Right.
How much was it really? Like 1/185th or something?
Yeah, like that? And then it was like 0.02 for the Barclays Center.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but I mean, hey, I think he made a cool mill off that deal, though.
Yeah, easily.
Which is a good business.
Yeah, as always. You saw the business he did in July 4th with Samsung.
Yep.
Releasing his album, but also the business he's doing with athletes, including one Kevin Wayne Durant.
You know, Kevin Durant signing is definitely a coup for Roc Nation Sports, but I was a little surprised he didn't get any more picks in the NBA draft. He was pretty quiet.
I think this is a light draft. I think it was a light draft for him. I know he's got his eye in Kansas right now. I'm pretty sure he does.
Or Kentucky. There's a lot of...
You know what?
Prospects.
Jay-Z is not going to say, I'm going to be good. I want to be great. And you should go after the one you think will be the greatest.
But he also did that in Kevin Durant. Like, he got a, you know...
He won't have LeBron, so who's the guy behind LeBron?
Exactly.
Kevin Durant.
Exactly. So it's not a matter of getting them young and trying to nurture them and grow them. He got an established brand that he's going to build even bigger.
To the degree that he is dissing. Now, he's so high-end now, he only talks about art and dissing sports agents. Like, not in the streets anymore. Jay is on some other stratosphere about that, but I have to tip my hat to him. We talked about greatest and best all the time on this show.
Yep.
We talk about Michael Jordan being the best basketball player of all time, but William Felton Russell being the greatest because of winning.
Right.
Jay-Z is the greatest rapper who ever lived. Because of not only what he did in rap, but what he used his rap to do after the fact. There's no one who has that portfolio at all.
For sure. And I think he's bringing him to the sports world that they don't have a full grasp on. And
he's already done that with Michigan.
He's not an agent per se negotiating bonus clauses and contracts, whatever. He's a brand builder, and he's done that with
himself.
And
a power broker of the utmost, you know, visibility, you know, because when you hear Jay-Z, you don't know who he is. He walks in different circles.
Yeah, if I see the Samsung deal, I'm like, what can you do for me?
Money, he came out in the middle of the game 5 of the NBA Finals. And had a 3-minute infomercial.
I was so mad we were working that we didn't see that.
I was mad, but hey, you know what? That's juice. You know who else has juice?
Who's that?
Nate Silver.
Who's Nate Silver?
You don't know who Nate Silver is?
Dude, it's like a show. It's a show. It's a way for me to set you up to say who Nate Silver is.
Of course, but I know. I'm just saying that Nate Silver was a guy, he's like a stats guy.
Right.
And you know we are all about analytics on this show.
All about it.
Right.
538.com.
Yeah. He has his website, which accurately predicted all 50 states in an election, the presidential election, has now gotten a deal, a multi-platform deal with ESPN, ABC, Disney, the Oscars. Like, this guy is that. He's the hub now.
Hey.
He's like Bill Simmons times two with NBC or with ABC.
It's a numbers game. People love the analytics.
They and he has the numbers.
And that's what they want.
Well, I'm going to be interested to see how they use him and how it's changing the way we view sports and how we view sports journalism, because he's going to not only talk about sports, of course, he's going to talk about the Oscars and political stuff and everything, but how he lends what he does to sport is really speaking about the analytics in this thing now. Like, in everything, there's analytics.
And it's going to take some of the journalism out of it. The people who are the wordsmiths are going to suffer because black and white, numbers don't lie.
Right.
You could talk and suggest and pontificate all you want, but if the numbers say contrary...
Hey, you know what? It's all mathematics. Word to Yasin Bey.
And Chris Martin.
Why? Why Chris Martin?
Because he produced the track.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
For mathematics? Oh, that Chris Martin. I was thinking about Coldplay. No! Don't tell nobody I said that. Sorry, Preem.
I got
my
you.
Bad. But you know what? Congrats to Nate Silver. Also, congratulations go out to a guy who clearly has no compunction about leaving money on the table.
Well, listen, this isn't a happy trails, and I'm glad you didn't qualify.
It is happy trails.
No, it's not. You didn't say happy trails.
Happy trails, Kovalchuk. Ilya Kovalchuk is wild, yo.
Listen, she is going to be like George Foreman, Jay-Z,
okay,
Eminem, everyone who retired and came out of retirement.
Dude, you don't leave $77 million on the table when you retire. That sounds like he must have, you know who he consulted? Andre Kirilenko.
No.
Kirilenko left money on the table to play for
Kokarov. He's getting mad rubles back home.
Mad the rubles.
So, see, I don't know what Kovalchuk is going to go home, play in KHL, and come back.
Well, he retired from the NHL, and that's all I can say about that.
Well, hey, happy trails to him. I have a feeling we will be seeing him again.
I do, too. Rest in paradise shouts go to Emil Griffith, who, if you didn't know, he died recently at 75. His most famous bout ever was in 1962 with Benny Parrott, who he ended up, I guess, killing, for lack of a better term, in the ring.
Yeah.
Not outside of the ring.
Yeah, no, it was in
the ring. But he gave him a brutal beating, and some claim, the rumor as it goes, is that Parrott called him, anti-gay slur. That's how they put it. So I'll put it like that.
Oh, that's what it was.
It really was. Because okay. He came out later right. and said he was bisexual, he was gay, he was, straight.
Right.
But it really didn't matter. But that was a turning point in his career because it affected him for so long. Right.
Of course, because that's blood on your hands.
Yeah, but rest in paradise, Emil Griffin. We're going to post something about that on the footnotes later on with the show. Congratulations to the Hall of Fame inductees of the Boxing Hall of Fame,
yep,
including Arturo Gatti, for many. A questionable choice for Hall of Fame status, but it's sentimental. His daughter went up to the mic and talked on the mic. So right. Everyone was, forgot for a moment that Arturo Gatti wasn't that great of a fighter. He was exciting. He got beaten all these big fights.
But what if someone else would have accepted the award? Because that moment makes
I don't think it should have been in anyway. But
whatever. Right, exactly. So it's almost like that gets the pass because the daughter made the speech. But who else we have? Because I'm not totally surprised.
Virgil Hill got in.
Oh, Mr. Mills Lane.
Yeah, Mills. Let's get it on.
Yeah.
The classy Jimmy Lennon Jr., the ring announcer, he's in. And... they were some of the ones who got in. So congrats to all those guys. But Gatti was the biggest one, the biggest name. And, people are going to question that. But he's in, and you can't take it back. And this is going to come up later on the show about giving something and trying to take it back.
Well, in the boxing vein.
What?
Was this some birthdays?
Oh, okay, good. Well, give it up to Michael Gerard Tyson.
How do you...
Don't ask me.
No,
I don't know.
I need to, I mean, what? Like, the middle name thing. Just like, We'll get into another time. You got everyone. Although you haven't addressed Dwayne Wade by his full name.
No, I didn't. But I did.
Never. I've never heard you address
him. No, I didn't. But I did say Carmelo Khayyam Anthony one time on the show, and it was his middle name. I don't know how I knew it.
I have no idea. You're bananas with that.
But happy birthday to Iron Mike. Barry Bonds. It's funny that a guy like Barry Bonds is... We're going to talk a lot about guys who hit a lot of home runs. And he had, you know, a birthday recently. The peanut gallery in the arena
is very alive.
Yeah. Shout out to the captain, Derek Jeter.
Yep.
He had a birthday. The greatest Yankee of all time, in my opinion. The Iron Horse.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Derek Jeter.
No. The Iron Horse. Lou Gehrig.
There you go.
He played 2,130 straight games, broken by Cal Ripken, of course. Venus Williams had a birthday.
Happy birthday, Venus.
Yes. Babe Zaharias. You know who that is?
Only because you sent me a link saying who it is.
Well, you know what? She was one of the greatest athletes, lady athletes of all time.
Multi-sport athlete.
She played everything. She played baseball. She played basketball. She was a pro. She had golf, where she was known most. She had a tournament named after her.
She's a diver.
Hey, she married a wrestler. I'm dead serious. So she's done it all. She was like the Jim. She and Jim Thorpe were the, I guess, the greatest sporting icons, or one of the greatest, or two of the greatest, I should say, of the first half century of the 20th century. Right?
That's crazy.
So she did work. She had, you know, a birthday, and wanted to shout her out because the ladies are in the house.
Most definitely,
no doubt. John Elway had a birthday. Ladies. The winner of his fifth major on the PGA Tour, lefty Phil Mickelson, had a birthday. Michael Phelps, he of the THC.
The real American hero.
Yeah. And he smokes that cannabis sativa. Shout out to Haile Selassie, whose birthday it is today. So Michael Phelps and Haile Selassie, you know,
let's whatever. Get one up together.
Ja Rastafari, son. Also, happy birthday to Allen Iverson, AI. Wonder if he got some money for his birthday.
Hopefully.
More enough to buy a cheeseburger.
Maybe we get some trademarked, some money from trademarking the cornrows.
From Kawhi Leonard on his birthday.
There you go.
You know who else's birthday it is?
Who?
Rain, hail, sleet, or snow. The mailman, Karl Malone.
Karl Malone.
It is. So happy 50th to Karl Malone.
You didn't
Malone.
Give your boy a shout out?
Who?
I almost want to say his name, but I don't almost know his name.
Who?
Ray.
Who?
Ray Allen.
Oh, Walter Ray Allen's birthday. Yeah. He did that. He just turned 38.
Walter Ray Allen. See, that's it.
I know you know it.
Exactly.
Jesus! Anyway, as we stay on basketball, college basketball coaches are looking less and less tinted these days.
a fair hue, you said?
A fair hue. Not as fair as people would think it would be. When you think about Division I coaches, many of them are not black. And there are less and less every year.
Why? I feel like you're going to get into what the rationale behind why that is.
I don't know why it is. You know, you want to hire the most qualified guy for the job, regardless of what he looks like, mm-hmm. or she. But in this instance, there are less. And so I'm thinking, you know how they have the Rooney Rule in football?
Right.
What about, or would they look at, I guess, creating the Haskins Rule for Don Haskins? You know why, right?
Why?
The first all-black team to ever play in the NCAA Finals in 1966.
Right.
Texas Western. I thought it would be appropriate to name it after him. To create a committee that says, you know, it's affirmative action is slippery for me.
Yeah,
it's slippery.
Agreed, because you don't want guys getting jobs
just because they're black
or
a woman or whatever the case might be.
Exactly.
Like I said earlier, if you're the most qualified, but you would think that when you have 89% of the coaches on the D1 level being white coaches and the majority of the players, you know,
57.2%,
you know, being black, you would think there'd be closer, more balance with that. To be able to talk to the players and relate to them. And, well, and you know what? I'm going to retract that.
Yeah, it's, and you can, but what I will say is, you know, college basketball is a sport that's been going on for a while. You would think that there's some players who've gone through the system, gone to, you know, assistant coaching levels that could kind of funnel back into that system.
You would think
that
so.
That have the experience and expertise to do it.
You see a lot of guys trying to get NBA jobs because they're more lucrative, whatever the case might be. You see Brad Stevens coming from Butler and coming into the NBA, where guys who have played, and we've had this argument before too about players not having the opportunities to come on as coaches when they know the league, they know how it works,
right?
And they, you know, they sat on benches for years and studied under good coaches.
Yeah, I think the thing is, you don't see, you see players, you see a lot of ex-NBA players trying to be assistant coach in the NBA. You don't see a lot of ex-collegians who may not even make it to the NBA trying to get on the bench. But then again, maybe there's a little politics at play, though, too, right?
Explain.
Coaching staffs are like a crew.
What does KRS do? They do whatever they want to do.
Exactly. So how do you fit into that fold, right? I mean, it's
absolutely.
So, but
you picked your own team. I get that.
Right.
But this, it's definitely something that I think will be addressed and should be addressed. My former assistant coach at Rice, Willis Wilson, is now the coach at some podunk school in Corpus Christi. Texas A&M Corpus. No,
Texas that's too big.
Yeah, no, it's something like that. Anyway.
But you know what, though?
He was the head of the Black Coaches Committee.
You have to be a head coach to be a head coach, though, too, right? So he could coach at a small school, but, you know, when the coach, head coaching vacancy comes up, like, okay, well, he has head coaches as opposed to, like...
He was an assistant under Mike Montgomery at Stanford. He was an assistant at Rice when I was there. He was an assistant at Memphis just recently. So, you know, I don't know. You see a Shaka Smart, and then you don't see many after that.
Yeah,
you know?
And this discussion, obviously, recently released with a racial and gender report card of college sport by Central Florida Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport. And they did some analysis of the numbers, and that's kind of where it sparked our dialogue here. But,
right. Well, you know, from college to the pros, and as a matter of fact, the WNBA season is going strong. Have you watched the game? Tell the truth.
Oh, I have no problem saying I have not watched
it. I watched a couple.
Let me say that I will definitely watch the NBA game, WNBA, before Summer League of NBA, for sure.
But you haven't watched either.
But I have time still. Because it's All-Star break right now.
Well, it's All-Star break. And, you know, what's surprising for many is that a rookie is the leading vote getter for the WNBA All-Stars.
And what's surprising for me is that two of the top three picks of the draft, WNBA draft, are in the game. And your favorite pick is going to probably get named as a reserve.
Well, I'm sure that Skylar Diggins.
But she wasn't...
Skylar Diggins. Why are you laughing?
Because you always say her name a certain way.
Skylar Diggins.
She's not starting, though.
She hasn't played that great. And Brittany Griner was injured for a couple of games. Yeah. She sat out. Their team is not doing that great. But Elena Deladon is the leading vote getter in WNBA.
Which is very interesting because we're talking about, like, you know, the stars in WNBA are the stars kind of for a while. So, and
right.
Candace Parker and, like, all these... And she came in, and she's just beat everybody.
Apparently, she is a star, and she will be one of the faces of the WNBA for years. I think it helps her a little bit more that she plays in a major market, too.
Of course.
She plays in Chicago.
But I think also,
my girl,
too,
Skylar, plays in Tulsa. Right? You know.
But I think, too, it's like, are we starting to really see, like, that groundswell of the, you know, the knock is you could have a bigger career in the NCAA than you could have in the WNBA. Are we seeing those fans follow?
Change it?
Yeah.
Is that a look, it must shift? Be. I think it must be because she played at a small school in Delaware. Yep. And now she's in the WNBA in Chicago and she's doing work. So shout out to Elena Deladon and everyone who made the All-Star teams for the WNBA.
Let's talk about the NBA. Season's over, obviously.
Yeah. Kiss the rings. The Miami Heat won their second in a row.
To the chagrin of many.
Yes, to the chagrin of many, but it was a crime scene victory. As we CSR our way through it, because they were done in game six. They were dead in the water.
Oh, yeah. They brought it the yellow tape.
Well, you know, the yellow tape, like I said, turned into a crime scene. As Walter Ray Allen, the aforementioned, hit a critical three-pointer to take it into overtime.
Barry said? Rick Barry said about...
that he traveled?
Yeah.
Like, every guy doesn't travel in the NBA, and it's not a travel. When I looked at it, like,
yeah, it wasn't.
Come on, Rick Barry.
Like, there's much more glaring travels than that.
So, how many plays before that happened? Yeah. Shut up, Rick Barry. Nobody cares. You're a prick. Anyway.
Sorry.
Let's get to the real issue. The season is over, and there are problems across the board for a lot of teams. Everyone's gunning for the number one spot that the Heat hold. Mm-hmm. But will one of the most storied franchises be in that mix?
I'm nating you.
Why is that?
King of conjecture.
I'm just asking a question.
We talked about this in other places, namely one-on-one with one way on TSN 1050.
Very good.
The Lakers are in trouble.
Yeah.
You shared a link of the 5-on-5 insiders and ESPN talking about, you know, Kobe and Amnesty, which is a topic you brought up a long time ago.
Yeah.
More importantly, I'm not a believer of Amnesty and Kobe, but Kobe is going to have to take a pay cut in order for this team to flourish.
All right, so say they don't get the quality free agents they're looking for. And you know what I mean when I say quality? As a destination spot in the NBA that LA is, and if Carmelo Anthony and LeBron Raymond James decide to opt out in 2014.
Right.
You know, the Lakers are going to come calling.
Oh, well, a question.
But what if they don't come to L.A.? What if they don't want to, you know, the knock is we don't want to play with Kobe. I'm not saying they said that.
Oh, no, of course. But we got to look at when the Big Three happened. Granted, it's Miami's a lovely place. It's not like they were packing up the house every night.
Right.
Players created their own destination. I mean, you could put, hey, come on, I want to go to L.A. No one wants to go somewhere if the team sucks. Especially right. At this stage of his career with these free agents. So, yeah, LA's great, the movie deals, all that stuff, whatever. But if there isn't pieces at play, why would you want to make that move?
It's going to be tough for the next couple of years in Lakerland. And I just wonder, you know, Kobe's saying he can play another 2-3 years. We're going to find out. They keep putting out reports that, you know, he's going to be back by training camp. And like, stop. You know, yeah. He does.
Like, I think Buss in a bet. He's like, oh, yeah. It's like, come on, man. You don't want to push Kobe to get back too soon at this stage of his career.
Well, if they're looking for players to put on their team, we can look at no further than Dwayne's beloved NBA Summer League.
Well, I didn't watch. I did definitely read and pay attention to what was going on in Summer League. Got a shout out, my man, Jonas Valanciunas, taking the MVP of Summer League.
Yes, he did. Shout out to Jonas.
It's, you know, it's good.
He was a beast. He was the beast of the Vegas Summer League.
Right.
And the other young gun that was the MVP, de facto MVP, I guess, mm-hmm. of the Orlando Summer League, Andre Drummond.
It's all about the big man, eh?
Apparently so. The big man is not dead yet in the NBA.
So, any surprises that you saw?
No. You know, I was very high on TJ McCollum.
Right.
He played, you know, for the most part, pretty well. He's going to fit into his role in Portland, I think, great. Yeah,
especially making decisions. Like, scoring was never a real concern about him, but making decisions as a point guard is the transition that he's got to make. But
I have some questions about a guy like Ben McLemore, who didn't play well. Of course, I don't know why
I read that he was talking about, you know, I didn't play. I was playing center up until, like, a junior at high school, so.
Why would he say that?
Because he's saying, guess why he can't dribble the ball?
Oh, that so must be why.
He's already making excuses.
Well, he had 0 assists and 18 turnovers in 5 games in the NBA. So we know he can't pass either.
Exactly.
Unless it's to the other team. Or to Manu Ginobili. Busting shots already.
Otto Porter.
Otto Porter Jr. played terrible. But his game is not set up for summer league.
No.
Like, right. He's not a one-on-one type of guy. He's a system guy.
Yeah.
So when you don't have a system and everyone trying to show and prove, you're not going to play well. So it's hit or miss with summer league.
That's the thing, because that's kind of why I kind of can't. You kind of got to take it with a grain of salt, because if someone goes off and has a great summer league, I mean, like Valanciunas, we're seeing the development. So that's not.
He bulked up. Looks like the Incredible Hulk.
He added some weight. And he's going to play Eurobasket with Lithuania against those guys. So, but then some guys are great. And then, you know, like Kelly Olynyk had a great showing at summer league. Is that going to translate at same level next?
Well, you talked about Kelly, another guy who's kind of like him in as far as body size and I guess some athleticism is Cody Zeller.
White on white comparison. Thank you.
I had to do it. Cody Zeller.
Who did better.
He was great in Summer League in Vegas. Okay?
Yeah.
He was great. Everyone thought he was the best player in Summer League in Vegas. He showed them things he didn't have, or he didn't show it in Indiana. He didn't have to do it.
Right.
There are still concerns about how he finishes around the basket.
Right.
But for the most part, he played great, from what I understand.
So he's going to make Jordan and Rich Cho look like geniuses.
Nah, I don't. Let's not get out of bounds. What is that? I got a text from Byron Mullins who said, nah, he's not going to do that well. So let me stop. But no, you know, there's a lot of action that went on this summer. Mm-hmm. Free agents moving here and there.
Veteran players moving here and there.
Yes, there were a lot. But, of course, the biggest moves of the summer came in BKNY with the Brooklyn Nets and bringing in the...
Four veteran players.
Well, they brought in your favorite veteran player.
Andre Kirilenko.
Mad
Rubio. I wasn't sure if you were going to say Jason Terry because he's not my favorite.
No, it's not.
Thank
but
you. Yeah,
for a guy that, as I spoke about, Ilya Kovalchuk leaving money on the table, here's a guy who's maybe under investigation.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to. They are, but they're not going to find anything.
No.
But it's very questionable. He had $10 million. He walked away from $10 million a season in Minnesota.
To take three
in Brooklyn. But.
Better team, better opportunity.
Yeah.
Plus, he played for the owner
of
this, Mikhail Prokhorov, a.k.a. Basketball Drago.
if you can see it happening on any team, it would be this team.
Right. I mean, the dots connect and people are trying. You know how the owners of the NBA want to call collusion anytime they can.
Especially with a guy like Prokhorov who's not fitting the rules. He's playing by his own rules.
I'm going to pay that fine. It's $85
million. I'll pay that tax. I don't care.
All day long.
Allen Iverson did. He said, I'm going to sign that check at the beginning of the season. Fine me.
Right. You know. But he brought in Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Jason Terry and Andre Kirilenko.
And Sean Livingston off the bench.
Yeah, but I'm saying like...
No. Those are the big guys. But yeah. I'm just saying like as a replacement to CJ Watson.
Why are you always messing with my man CJ Watson, the best backup point guard in the NBA?
Not according to Chris Sheridan.
And we'll get into that.
But the team... This is the question though. On paper... And last year we were talking about a team on paper too named the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, they look pretty good.
That what was the word I used last year when I talked about the Lakers on paper? It begins with an I.
And it's a very, very big word.
Interesting. That's it.
Oh, I thought it was if, but yes.
No. Well, yeah. if it's, you know, that fits too.
Yep.
And if this team is healthy, if this team can find a rhythm, if the team can
share the ball like their coach.
Right. Then they are in the mix.
Definitely.
But Chicago's getting Derrick Rose back. You know, the Pacers are keeping Danny Granger for now. He will be back.
Yeah.
So, you know, get in line to kiss the ring once again.
We'll see how it plays out. And yes, the schedule comes out in a couple of days, so we're going to see how some of those matchups fare.
That's going to help us out.
Season opener, Christmas Day, all that stuff is going to be good.
You know, the rumor is the season opener is the Bulls in the Heat.
Really?
And we posted on our Facebook some videos of Derrick Rose coming back and LeBron James answering that, even though they didn't do the videos.
Right.
It was they just were fans that were fans doing it. Exactly. But they were very good. If you had an opportunity, check them out.
Allow me to adjust my skeptic hat with Derrick Rose's return.
Oh, well, do tell, sir.
I was never... Listen, you can finish this for me. When Derrick Rose was healthy, they still could beat the Miami Heat.
Exactly.
So...
And they had a worse team now.
Exactly.
So what is there, unless he was on that Ryan Braun.
Oh my.
On that A-Rod. Like,
hey.
That's not going to help either.
Who is their backup point guard? They lost A-Robinson. Who's the backup point guard right now?
Marcus Teague.
Oh, I'm excited. And Mike Dunleavy is going to be the answer there.
Yes.
Right. Anyways, I like Chicago. I don't like them to take. And I don't think Derrick Rose, although he's a great player, is a difference maker.
Well, you know, I was just speaking about Ryan Braun, who,
when?
You know, the 2011.
What?
Just now. He's on that Ryan Braun.
Oh, got you.
See what I'm saying?
And
Ryan Braun, who vehemently denied that he was on PEDs.
Which we talked about on this episode.
Yes, sir.
The show.
Came out, pled the fifth, would answer some questions when he was asked about
it. He took a deal. He just took a deal.
Take the plea bargain, right?
Exactly.
So they found out that, you know, he was doing what he said he wasn't doing. The 2011 MVP, Ryan Braun. Yeah. And people are talking about, should they strip him of the MVP?
I think that's a fair assessment.
Why?
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. You know what, though? Because when he got the MVP, there was questions and scrutiny, and he beat the case. Technicality, though.
This is not double jeopardy. It's not a murder case.
I know, but it wasn't like, okay, they tested, you know, like they proved that without a reasonable doubt, he was clear and innocent. It was a technicality.
But what he did was very Lance Armstrong. He tried to ruin this guy's life.
Exactly.
By the guy who was the FedEx guy who took the test from one place to another.
Right.
Said it compromised the test because of how long it took to get where it was supposed to go.
Yeah.
So, I guess we found out more that he wasn't lying. But now, how do you rebuild that guy's life? How do you rebuild the relationship with the teammates you have, with the fans, with the endorsers?
I think it's more about the fans than the endorsers because the teammates, I got to believe.
He's a fraud.
Oh, well, question.
And he got suspended for the rest of the season, but I don't think that's sufficient.
Oh, you want more? You want blood?
Yeah. And, well, not blood. You know, they already tried to take the blood and it was tainted. But, you know, I think it should be more severe. If you want to punish players who not only do the drugs, but come out and lie and beat the system for whatever it's worth, they should get more.
Well, this is just starting. The Biogenesis case is just starting.
Alex Rodriguez may be... People are talking about he's being banned from baseball. So let's backtrack a little bit. If you take away his bronze 2011 MVP, NL MVP, you give it to Matt Kemp. And if you do that, does it change a lot of things in history?
I think you just take... If you strip someone, I don't think you should worry about giving it to the next person.
Right, but so it's like a consolation prize. Or you leave it blank.
I think you just leave it blank.
But here's the thing. People are talking about, no, you don't give it back. You can't change history. So why are they arguing Barry Bonds' home runs? Why are they saying, oh, we should, you know, Roger Maris is the true home run king because Barry Bonds cheated. He never said he did. Never said he didn't.
Yeah, I mean...
Ryan Braun actually tried to apologize by saying, well, I made some mistakes. He never said what those mistakes are, so he never really apologized.
Yeah, like you said, he Lance Armstrong did.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because you have that argument where stuff has been done and everyone knows it's been done. I mean, like, it's after the fact.
Well, you know, I know Ryan Braun is going to be suspended for the rest of the season. I don't know if there's a country for old men named Alex Rodriguez who also had a birthday just recently.
And a whole lot. I'm sure they'd love to not be paying him some money.
He has no country.
Oh, at all.
Like,
not even like anywhere. On the field, off the field, nowhere.
His credibility is so shot with anyone who ever thought he was like a natural talent that he may never get in the Hall of Fame. You think about a guy named Chris Davis. In Baltimore,
yeah,
the Orioles, who's like the leading home run hitter in baseball right now.
Yeah,
people are asking this power surge, where did it come from? When that's the case, when you look at it and you start to ask, just because a guy starts jacking home runs, that right away you don't think about natural talent anymore. It's about drugs.
Because that's what they've seen.
That's the world we live in now.
Yeah.
So should we let that go as fans? Should we not just worry about it? Because we want to see the 500-foot home run. Yeah. We want to see that. That's why we had the home run derby, right? We want to see it, but does it matter if you use drugs? Like, what's the point?
It does matter.
Why? Not everyone who uses the drugs excels in baseball or in sport. I'm not advocating for drug use in sport.
Yeah, but the guys who are bat... So you mean to tell me all the guys who are batting under, like... 250 are like all clean?
No, I'm not saying.
The other way around. That they are using it, but they're still batting shit.
a lot of guys, you know what? There are guys that have used and been caught and suspended in baseball that were not batting the Mendoza line. That's 200 for the baseball impaired.
I just feel like, I mean, yeah, we want to see it, but if there's no limits, if there's no boundaries and everyone's doping, then it's not genuine.
Well, we want to know what you guys think. Make sure to write us at allballsdontbounce@gmail.com and give us your viewpoint. Dwayne.
Yes, sir.
Can you read me a bedtime story?
It goes like this. I got some sweet shit music for you.
Oh, man. In the world of mixed martial arts, the greatest fighter who ever lived, Anderson Silva.
Period. Does he still, I mean, hold that mantle?
Yeah. I mean, he got knocked the fuck out.
Especially the way he went out, though, too.
Yeah, but he was kind of, but that's always been a part of what he does. You know, and he got caught by a guy.
I'm not worried about the showy stuff, but just even like, why don't go? Why don't end like that?
Well, he's coming back. They signed a rematch, even though he said he would never fight for the title again.
Yeah, I know he said.
But Wyman may not be the champ by then. It's not like WWE where they hold the belt to make sure these guys. Like, it's not going to be like that, yo. So
but it doesn't really matter because I don't think, you know, I mean, like, who would.
But here are two guys that are sitting on the sideline going, damn. John Bones Jones and George St. Pierre, because they wanted that money. They're good. And you know what? Fighting Silva is still, you know, a big money fight, no matter who you are. But it means a little bit more when you have the strap.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he lost the way he lost, much similar to Manny Pacquiao.
Who got
knocked the fuck out.
Yes, sir.
It's not as, like, it's when people see that vulnerability in both of these guys.
Blood is in the water. Now sharks are coming.
Yeah, like, I mean, John Bones Jones, like, now it's like, oh, well, fuck, John Bones Jones got this. Like, this isn't a problem. Just like Floyd is going to knock out Manny. It's the same kind of thing. And the luster is worn off a bit.
Well, we talked about, you know, the luster being worn off and that time waits for no man. And Floyd Mayweather is 36 years old. Fighting his last fights, and he took the biggest fight of his career so far. It's big in the sense of spectacle.
Right.
Because his opponent, Saul Canelo Alvarez,
yes,
has not really fought anyone, but he's a big star. Pay-per-view. It's the world we live in.
Right.
Blood record, but he's a star, and he's going to fight Floyd. People have wanted him to fight Floyd for the longest. I guess this is second best to not fighting Pacquiao. You get Canelo.
Is it really the second best? I mean, I almost would say it might be the best because I don't think anyone thinks, I'm sure there are people are, but does anyone really think that Manny could beat Floyd?
Not at this point.
Right.
Because he got knocked out by a guy who's a slicker counterpuncher than Marquez.
Right.
And Floyd.
Which is why I say this is probably the best fight because people will tune in. Well, the question is this. Do you think Pacquiao and Floyd right now at this state would do better numbers than what Alvarez and Mayweather are doing right
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely.
Think so.
Right? Absolutely. And here's the great part. Floyd Mayweather actually offered a deal to Manny Pacquiao just recently.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I thought the deal was happening before, which we talked about.
No, he offered him a deal. He said, you know what?
He's doing him solid?
When you're done with Bob Arum robbing your pockets, the only way you can fight me is if you fight under my banner as Mayweather Promotions.
Make me some money.
You're my bitch now.
Yeah.
And that's smart business because Manny Pacquiao, especially if he loses to Brandon Rios when they fight, it's a done deal. He'll have to fight Floyd Mayweather. And by that time, you know, more excuses.
The question is this, though. How strong is Manny's will to fight going to be at that point?
We don't know.
If it's not, he can. I mean, I'm not saying he can walk away because he messed up. He never got that fight. But he could just say, forget it. I don't want to fight. I'm going to go back and home and be the king of the Philippines and call it.
He's going to be the king of the Philippines regardless.
Right, which is why he wouldn't go and fight under Floyd. And Floyd, because Floyd would never, ever let that.
Nah.
Oh.
No, that would be hot. He was. Yeah. He's already going at, you know, Oscar De La Hoya.
Yep.
The last tour stop on this promotional tour for the Money Canelo fight.
Yeah.
you know, was in L.A.
Of course.
A stronghold for Canelo.
Yep.
And Oscar got up to the podium and said, the biggest star in boxing saw Canelo Alvarez.
And people went, huh?
And they went, no, no. They were like cheering.
Oh, because it's his.
And Floyd Mayweather and Leonard Ellerby were laughing. So Floyd knew what he was going to do. It's like a counterpunch. He knew what was going to happen. He gets up on stage and he says, I'm going to give stats to everyone, including Golden Boy, the guy who is Golden Boy, Richard Schaefer. He doesn't say Oscar De La Hoya. De La Hoya's face is like, he's going to say my name.
Because he's the guy who is Golden Boy. And then it's like, ooh.
He goes, as a matter of fact, you should call me Golden Boy because I beat everybody on your roster.
Wow.
Yep. Then he's like, you know, you talk about Canelo being the biggest star in boxing, but the only way he can get a star is fighting on my undercard.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, whatever you need to do to pump yourself up, I'm still the way, I am the one. All roads lead to Mayweather, period.
And he's an expert at the verbal jousting and building up the hype for fights.
Yeah, because it looked like Canelo wasn't involved in it earlier.
He's also an expert at backing up his words.
This is true until he loses. Which
he hasn't done in his career yet.
And we won't know until they do the dance September 14th, which will be before we get back for our next show, because we're 2 months away from that. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I would love to have a trip out to Vegas in September.
That'd be wild.
Yeah, it would be wild. But we'd have to leave Canada to do it.
We could do it. We could podcast from wherever. Have Mike Will travel.
Well. Do we have to secede from Canada? Have our own country?
A country for old men, perhaps?
Yeah. Or a country for old men with a lot of money, like the BCS teams in college football.
That's a lot of money.
75 teams in the NCAA Division I win 90% of the titles.
That's
the rest of the schools do nothing, but they all have equal voting rights.
Right.
These top schools, the top five conferences, don't feel that's fair. And they're right.
Well, especially when they want to make decisions in terms of like more money for scholarships, all that stuff, because they obviously can afford to.
They don't want
to
fall under the rules.
Smaller schools, though.
What about them?
That's the worth of their benefit, so they always vote no on those things.
This is America, yeah?
Well,
so this is America, and this is how it works. The poor get poor and the rich get more.
Well, that's if they have their way, that's what's going to happen.
Well, they're going to leave. I think they're going to leave. I mean, their championship is not, you know, relegated by the NCAA. It's the BCS Bowl.
Oh,
it's independent already. They outsource the title game.
So, okay, no, and I totally get that. And that's it's not anything's going to change.
Right. But
what's going to happen when, like, Old Dominion wins the NCAA championship?
No, it'll be like how the NIT used to be like the NCAA.
Right. Yeah.
And then the NCAA came, took all their thunder.
Right.
NIT means something, but it's kind of like
a consolation championship.
That's all it is.
Which is at least Old Dominion get a chance to win something.
So shout out to Old Dominion, son.
There you go.
Where'd the Kenny Gattison?
Ooh, Kenny Gattison.
You like that? Old Dominion, yo. We talked about secession and who owes what and who should get what they deserve. This Johnny Football, is he getting what he deserves right now?
No.
Why is that?
Johnny Football is a 20-year-old kid. I mean, yes, I know he's affluent. I know Johnny Football. Like,
right.
The hype machine, whatever. The guy goes out, parties. He's at a camp, supposed to do some stuff. Lies, sleeps in. Come on, man.
Well, he's got the eyes of the world on him. And this is the world we live in. We talked about this.
Right.
You have to toe the line and be what people make you. We talk about fandom all the time in this show.
Yeah.
And there's an expectation that he would be a certain way, especially at Peyton Manning's camp.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. Your expectations exist.
Yes.
But
are they fair?
Right, and I'm not an endorser of Johnny Manziel. I like whatever. I mean, he had a good little.
No, you have to call him Johnny Football,
like Skylar Diggins. Certain things have to be pronounced
absolutely.
But you know, he fucked up. He tried to lie his way out of it, and because of the fact that it's who he is,
I respect your position about him being a 20-year-old kid. But there was a 20-year-old kid who was responsible enough to drive the car called the LA Lakers in 1980 and won a title. His name was Irvin Magic Johnson. No excuses, son. No excuses.
He was a pro. Johnny's not a pro yet. He's not a pro yet.
Dude, he got those HOVs at the game. Not court size, but HOVs.
Yeah, but his family's got money.
So?
So it's not like he got the whatever.
Dude, he's taking pictures with LeBron.
You're not seeing that OVO pin he's rocking, B? He's got an OVO lapel pin.
It's like that. Johnny Manziel is walking in different circles right now.
He is.
He's a pro. I don't care what you say. He's a pro right now. What's not professional in the post-racial NFL right now is how the Jets lineman, and I don't want to say his name properly.
Odebushi?
You got it. Yep. He's a rookie offensive lineman and one of the few Palestinian American players to play in the NFL.
That's great.
And
however,
there was an article, a website article, that called him a Muslim extremist. Was that Obama or this guy? I don't know what they called him.
They just throw it out.
Front Page magazine published a story.
You had the most ink ever, and their circulation numbers must be off the hook now because of the story they made.
Yeah, so maybe it worked for them.
Well, they basically said that he was in Virginia and gave a speech at a radical Muslim conference sponsored by a group denying Israel's right to exist and associated with blatantly anti-Semitic and terrorist propaganda.
Right.
They made this up.
Right. So anything that's opposite of what you believe in, that's the whole hater defense, right?
The thing is, though, just because their argument is he's Palestinian, so he's anti-Israel.
Right. He can't just be Palestinian-American.
He didn't say anything,
and be pro-Palestinian.
He didn't even say anything. You're right. If he was pro-Palestinian, that's fine,
too. How's that a crime, though?
Exactly.
How's that a crime? But again,
as you would say, pre-crime.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And, just like we talked about the athletes rescinding their statements and stuff, why does he have to defend himself against these guys?
Well, I mean, even though it's not, because anyone who's not familiar with, no one's going to remember Front Page magazine. Someone's going to hear, this guy was at a conference for whatever, and they're not going to know the real story. So
we never will know the real story. And that's the point, though.
The real story is there no story, but he's got to say, this isn't me, because someone decided to make it up.
Why does he have to say that, though? That's what I'm trying to say.
Always remember the negative story. Does anyone ever remember when they say, oh, this guy sexually assaulted me? No one hears about the apology. They hear about the story.
Right. So, you know what? They address it, and he goes, I don't know what they're talking about. If they want to call me that, cool. I've been called worst. I've come here to play football. I'm all about my people and my country.
Yep.
And there's no crime in that. So if they want to call me what they want to call me, that's fine. There's no story here. And I killed it. But I'm not defending myself.
Well, I don't think he was defending himself either. It was somewhere to...
He said he's not that. He says, it's upsetting to see people try to tarnish...
my reputation without even knowing me. That I appreciate all the support I've been getting from the people of all backgrounds across the city and country.
Slow clap.
There you go.
Slow clap. Well, you know who's not going to get any support unless it's the Pouncey Brothers? Aaron Hernandez.
Man, oh man.
Man,
come on, dog. Fucked up, kid.
Man, the Patriots, that's my team with Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. He has all those names.
I was going to say.
Yes, those are his names.
He went to Michigan.
I maybe switched it up. Go Blue. I switched it up a little bit, but whatever. Yeah, who said he's moved on from Aaron Hernandez. These guys...
What is moved on? Meaning like...
Like he's...
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Wow, right, yeah.
Right? Aaron Hernandez, if you didn't know, of course, is in jail for the... he was charged with first-degree murder of Odin Lloyd, a semi-pro football player and a friend of his, supposedly. Damn, if you have friends like that who offer you...
What you know, I was thinking about Hernandez, I knew we were talking about today. What did I always say about criminals? I forgot. I used to say something like...
A dumb criminal?
Exhibit A.
Well, what criminals are really smart, though? Other than the government. Like,
Kaiser Soze.
Kaiser Soze.
He needed a Kaiser Soze, but sorry, as you were.
No, it's just Aaron Hernandez is in a no-win situation right now. And how it affects how people look at not just the Patriots, but the NFL as a whole, because now, hashtag new rules, as we talked about.
Wow.
You know, I wanted to talk about this Jadeveon Clowney thing that they're trying to do in the NCAA.
Right.
With how he tackles and trying to make that a penalty. But that's nothing in comparison. Not a penalty. I'm sorry. An ejection. If you tackle a guy, high.
Clean hit. You get penalized for a clean hit.
Ejected.
That's doesn't make that, any
and
sense.
And they named it after him. You know what I call that? The no dunk rule.
Right.
Because you're dominating too much, boy. We can't have you doing that, Wilt.
We got to change the game up.
Ferdinand Lewis Alcindor Jr., we can't have you doing that.
You got that twang.
You like that, right? Yeah. My son's in the room, so it's all good. but not only, you know, with the Aaron Hernandez thing, are we looking at how, you know, this affects the Patriots, but also the NFL is using him as kind of the poster boy for a potential, you know, new rule that police experts and the league would go and check the tattoos of players coming into the league.
Yeah.
For gang affiliation.
I've never been to jail, but my wife's a really big fan of Locked Up and all those shows.
Right.
And one thing they do is when you go in, they check your tattoos to see what affiliations you have, knowing to where to place in the population.
Understood. And I get that for career criminals who are going to jail.
People who have committed crimes.
Who are going to jail.
Exactly.
But you're going to the NFL.
Right.
This sounds like straight up slave auction block. This one has a fine bubble. We'll check it. Are you really checking tattoos?
They're going to check out the tattoo, which is ridiculous. So like what?
Because a guy wears a tattoo automatically. This, again, we talk about criminalization of a certain look or idea. It creates a stigma about players who may rock a do-rag or, you know, don't wear a shirt and tie to the arena. So this is ridiculous.
I have a question, though. Does Aaron Hernandez have any gang affiliations?
Well, they're talking about it because, you know, those tough gangs in Bristol, Connecticut.
No, because
the ESPN gang. The Wet Bandits.
Because, no, I mean, if that was a big part of this case, I could understand that.
Well, they are talking about, like, possible gang affiliation.
But which had nothing to do with this crime.
But you know what? If you can tie it in, and you can make this something they add
to the
CBA.
And game safer.
Right.
Gosh.
Well, the game never changes here because it's always good. Because it's no game if it ain't good game. Shout out to my man, DJ Mike Hitman in Chicago, and Good Game the Pimp, who says if it's no game if it ain't good game. We have good game here on All Balls Don't Bounce.
Well, the game is safe because we're back on the scene.
Yes, sir. Kinda the incredible two-man team.
There you go. Weapons immediately constructed here to save the day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's been a slice.
It's always a fine slice, my friend. And if you want to hear this again, because I know you do, definitely check us to iTunes Store or download us at
Stitcher Radio.
If you have any questions, concerns, beefs, if you light-skinned people are mad because we're calling you out, email us at allballsdontbounce@gmail.com. Hit us on Twitter at @ABDmedia or check the footnotes at facebook.com/ABDmedia.
I think my man Ed Masonette, a.k.a. Ed the Sports Fan, is going to have beef with us about the light-skinned.
We'd like to hear it.
No doubt. And so, for my man to my immediate left,
Dwayne Sweets Watson, a.k.a. Swiss Franks.
I am the entrepreneur, Wall Street Will Strickland, telling you.
No, you got to tell Rich Kid.
Well, I was going to tell you first.
Oh, okay, tell me
but
first.
But since, I guess the people can know too. Our sound engineer, Rich Kid, do that thing you do. All Balls Don't Bounce, part of the Gone Network. Easy.
Put your game face on, get ready for the tip-off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show, you bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause you speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports, so what's popping? It's four corners of absolute rawness. If you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's. From the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's